welcome to Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're a group of law enforcement professionals that talk about today's news and issues, but we do it from a law enforcement perspective. And yes, you recognize him. We have Captain Brett Bartlett on the show. He is retired from the Tampa Police Department, 32 years of exemplary law enforcement experience, the founder of the Exemplar Defense Solutions at exemplardefense.com. So thanks so much for being on the show, Captain. We also want to mention our sponsors. You know, our title sponsor is Galls at Galls.com. And we also have ComplianTechnology.com or ComplianTechnologies.com. They have, you know, my favorite product, the glove. And Brett's a big fan of the glove, too. Don't let them fool you. And they are our streaming sponsor. And I'm getting it all mixed up today. Satellite. We're on Satellite thanks to them. Streaming is thanks to SafeguardRecruiting.com. And if you have an agency and you need to get recruits the right way, Safeguard Recruiting can do it. We have GunLearn.com on Medicare.life and TwoBells.com. They built our new online store at LeoRoundtable.com. Please check it out. A shout out to Brian Burns for the Tampa Free Press at TampaFP.com. Thanks for carrying our content, Brian. Also, Ray Dietrich with FormerLawman.com and Travis Yates with LawOfficer.com. Thanks to all those entities for helping make the show happen. And, hey, Brett, do you recognize the shirt that I'm wearing? Do you recognize the logo?
I do. And it's a good thing you saved it because it's back.
Things come back around. And so before we went live radio, Brett and I were talking about a conversation that we had, which caused me to move and get to relaunch Leo Affairs. And so, when Preston and I started Leo Affairs, and you know, when I incorporated it, it was incorporated as LeoAffairs.com LLC. And so that's a good thing, because here's what happened. I sold LeoAffairs.com, but I didn't sell Leo Affairs. So now I've incorporated Leo Affairs and without the .com, and I can put any extension on it that I want. So that's the key. So that's why it's leoaffairs.ch.
Good.
So if people forget the CH, it's just the first two letters of my first name, Chip. So just leoaffairs.ch. And that means that it's hosted in Switzerland and it's protected by Swiss privacy laws. And that means that what you say, another, it is moderated. I mean, I got to tell you that we had a posting deleted this morning and one last night, and that was off the Tampa Police message board. We do have moderation, but wow. Your identity is, yeah, that was quick, but your identity is protected. The Swiss privacy laws, they don't give up anything. And the new technology, new software, we're not even grabbing IP addresses, which is a good thing too on the new site. So leoaffairs.ch, check it out to see what it's all about. If you have an agency that you want to add, there's a little button there for you to be able to do that as well. So check it out, guys. Did you want to say something, Brett?
I had a few postings about me all those years ago on Leo Affairs. It was very,
what was it about?
Very cryptic. I did an investigation. You know, I was the internal affairs captain. I did an investigation, or CIB, I can't remember which one. And the person we investigated wasn't happy, and they posted really, I knew who it was from, but it was very cryptic. Just like, oh, really? But I'm not going to figure this out. Oh, come on.
You know, people talk about me all the time. You know, you can't have thin skin and wear your emotions on your sleeve. So you've got to have thick skin. And people talk about me all the time. But you just got to, when you run a site like this, there's different ways. You can go on and post as the owner. I can go on and post as Chip the Block, or you can go under an alias and try to stir a conversation, you know, in a different direction. Sometimes it's advantageous, not necessarily if you're being talked about. It's always best to let the other people take up for you if it's capable to be taken, unless you really screwed it up. You know, let them fight your battles. You don't want to get into a one-on-one if you can avoid it, you know. But then there's facts too. So we're trying to do the best job we can in moderating, but we've got a great moderation system, so I think we got it down. So we certainly have had the last 24 years to perfect it. Well, if you're ready, Brett, let's go ahead and see what kind of stories we're going to be talking about today. The first one, Trump vows there will be no DHS funding without Save America Act as the shutdown disruptions grow. But we're going to talk about where ICE is fitting into all that. Then we got Supreme Court. They actually reversed a lower court decision on qualified immunity in the state of Vermont. And it was involving a police sergeant who arrested a protester. So apparently sergeants with some agencies do work, Brett. And then we got the Harris County Sheriff's deputy indicted in 2025 in a deadly gas station shooting. We've got, boy, this is going to be the K-9 show. K-9 Mako finds a suspect pretending to be a trash bag. That's good. We have a vehicle theft suspect taken down and bitten by a Portage County K-9. That was pretty good. We've got, I'm going to skip that one. We've got a K-9 catching a bad guy in the crawl space under a house. That is not anywhere you want to be. We've got Florida Governor DeSantis clashing with sheriffs here in Florida over what they're calling common sense path to citizenship. That is a controversial issue, and one that Grady Judd has just changed. She's just flipped on that one. We've also got Baltimore police officers. They fatally shoot a 37-year-old during a foot chase. And then my favorite, the Florida woman arrested for urinating all over two Airbnbs, uploaded the videos to adult websites, making money from what I understand. That's an interesting story, Brett. I know you want to start off with that one, but instead, let's go somewhere else. And look, we've got Mary Lou Bartlett. There's a lot of people on the stream right now. I'm looking. So Betty Dunn and everybody on Facebook and also on, looks like, YouTube and over here on Rumble as well. Guys, thanks for watching the show on LinkedIn. We appreciate it. So without wasting any more time, let's go ahead and get started here. You know, our first story, it is, we have two main stories. This first one's at Tampa Free Press at the TampaFP.com. Trump vows that there will be no DHS funding without the Save America Act. He wants that to pass, and he wants it passed now. And, of course, we're in a partial shutdown. He upped the ante in the negotiations on Sunday, declaring that he's not going to support any deal to fund DHS, Department of Homeland Security, until lawmakers pass the Save America Act. Of course, the Dems have been saying, look, well, we want to defund, you know, DHS, or, you know, we want the agents not to be able to wear masks. And of course, they're getting doxxed and they're getting, you know, threatened and hurt and families threatened. And it just makes absolutely no sense for the Dems to want to put them in a world of hurt like that. Or we don't want them. I mean, basically, I'm expecting them to have the present legislation that says, well, we'll let them do their job as long as they're not armed and have no mace or OC spray, CS gas or anything like that, too. The announcement arrived while the Senate remained locked in a marathon debate over federal elections overhaul bill, and that's what this bill does. It makes elections fair and honest. Although the legislation is the top priority for the Trump administration, it continues to face near impossible odds in the chamber. Despite senators working through the weekend to try to hammer out the details of the resolution, the formal talks have hit a temporary standstill. And during all of that, what happened on Monday of this week, ICE showed up at the airports, and they're getting it done. A lot of these guys are doing traffic control and stuff and letting the TSA guys, the TSA agents, do what they do best inside the airport, but they're supplying support so that these airports can be run efficiently. We have actually gone in print from 6-hour waits to 30-minute waits. That is just crazy right now because Trump got ICE involved. And guess what? What better place to get illegals than in these freaking airports and stuff? You're limiting their mode of travel and stuff. So the Dems are really losing it now. Captain Brett.
And I think I've mentioned this before, but President Trump walks around with a belt full of flashbangs. Oh, yeah. And just about the time they're paying attention to, he tosses another flashbang and distracts everybody. His latest flashbang is putting federal agents in the airport to relieve those lines and having them show up without masks so that people understand they're just friendly. The only reason they're wearing masks on the street is because the liberals are threatening to publish their information, their names and their addresses. But they don't want that in the airport. So good for him. You know, so many flashbangs have been tossed in the last month or so that poor old Hamas over there in the Gaza Strip must be thinking and yelling, Hey, we still matter. Hey, don't forget about us over here. And Ukraine is going, yeah, we're right behind them. So, but, you know, in another day or so, Trump's going to throw another flashbang somewhere and get everybody distracted. He's already got the press kicked out of the Pentagon. They're no longer in the Pentagon. That's another flashbang he just tossed.
So you're aware of that. So what Brett's talking about, look, I only know about that because I read Coffee and COVID. And I don't know if you're still reading Coffee and COVID, but that is, you're giving me a thumbs up. Coffee and COVID, the attorney Jeff Childers in Gainesville, Florida. First thing I do every day, I'm not even out of bed yet. And I'm reading for about 15 minutes, Coffee and COVID at coffeeandcovid.com. Free newsletter. I actually subscribe so I get the Sunday edition. But yeah, a judge apparently backed up the, what media outlet was it that, that they banned from the core? And I, you just muted yourself, Brett, so I can't hear you, but they voted somebody out.
Yeah,
and the judge said they had to allow them back in. And so they just pretty much did away with the whole building and said, hey, you guys are in a trailer out in the parking lot now.
Yeah. They said, yeah, we're going to build an annex. As soon as it's ready, we'll invite you back in.
Yeah. So the judge,
how'd that work out there?
Yeah. Yeah. Not too well for the judge. So, yeah, good point. Well, anything else on this ice front, Brett? I mean, I think you're right. It's backfiring on the Dems. It's Trump 2.0. The Dems are playing 2D chess, and Trump's playing at least 4D chess right now. Still,
he's six moves ahead right now. As soon as they get close, he's going to toss another flashbang.
Yeah, you know, people need to start acknowledging that Trump is really way ahead of the game, and he's accomplishing what he wants. This whole thing with Iran, there's so many good things that are going on because of it that we will, we'll be discussing for decades to come. We've got less than a minute before we go to our first commercial break, so let me go in and whet the appetite with the second main story. FoxNews.com, Supreme Court reverses a lower court on a qualified immunity issue for the state of Vermont. A police sergeant arrested a protester, and a lower court took away the qualified immunity because you have to qualify for it. These people that want cops to lose qualified immunity, they forget that the first word is called qualified. You have to qualify for it. And if you're talking about judges or prosecutors, that's called absolute immunity. You don't have to qualify for that. But people that argue about it, they're upset about the wrong thing, and they're just not smart enough to get it. Qualified, you have to qualify. Be upset about the other version of immunity, and that's called absolute. Guys, our first commercial break. We'll be right back.
My family only cares about one thing, that I come home safe.
At Galls, every order begins with a promise. Made with purpose. Stitched for support. Backed with pride. Answered by dedicated hands. Delivering the standard you have sworn to uphold. We serve more than the mission. We serve the person. Each piece is engineered to help get our first responders through the shift and back home safe.
Welcome back, Leo Roundtable. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com. And look, we left off with a story. FoxNews.com, Supreme Court reverses the lower court on qualified immunity for a Vermont police sergeant who arrested a protester. And here's what happens. Supreme Court on Monday, they ruled that a Vermont state police sergeant is entitled to qualified immunity in a lawsuit that was brought by a protester who said that she was injured, so a female protester, when an officer used a wrist lock to remove her from a sit-in at a state capitol and at the state capitol in Vermont. So it already tells you that the first question I always ask with every use of force is, was the bad guy compliant? If they were not, guess what? They're a bad guy. The female that we're talking about here, bad guy. And she was non-compliant. They used a simple wrist lock to get her removed because she refused to. In an unsigned opinion, the court reversed the second U.S. District Court of Appeals, so the second DCA in Zorn versus Linton, holding that the existing precedent did not clearly establish that the sergeant, Jacob Zorn's specific conduct violated the Constitution. So Sergeant Jacob Zorn is the one that did the wrist lock on this female. The Second Circuit held, and this is the one that ruled against him, by the way, they said the sergeant was not entitled to qualified immunity. And that was read by the majority. There were three liberal justices dissenting, rejecting excess use of force arguments, and they say that we reverse. So the justice said that officers are generally shielded from civil liability unless prior case law put the unlawfulness of their actions beyond debate. So if you get that, that means that there was prior case law saying what you're doing is wrong, and you should have known about it, but you did anyhow. Now, beyond the Second Circuit, which is the ones that took away the qualified immunity from the sergeant, they failed to identify a specific case where an officer that did something similar was held, was to have violated the Constitution. And so they didn't do that. Sergeant Zorn was entitled to qualified immunity according to the ruling. We grant his petition for a writ of certiorari and reverse the judgment of the Second Circuit. So the Second Circuit got spanked by the Supreme Court. The case arose from a 2015 sit-in. It was healthcare protesters. They were at the Vermont Capitol and Governor Peter Shumlin. It's his inauguration day. And after the building closed, the police move in to arrest the demonstrators because they were still refusing to leave. And according to the opinion, protester Sheila Linton remained seated and her arms were linked with other people. So they were locked in. So the sergeant warned her and he said that, hey, I'm going to use force. And he takes her arm, places it behind her back, applies pressure to her wrist, lifts her to her feet. Linton later sued, alleging physical and psychological injuries, which is BS. The Supreme Court said the Second Circuit relied too heavily on its earlier decision in Amnesty America versus West Hartford, finding the case did not clearly establish that, quote, using a routine wrist lock to move a resistant protester after warning her without more violates the Constitution, unquote. So I guess, Brett, they'd rather see you whip out that expandable metal baton and beat her with a metal pipe. I mean, really. On that basis, the justice concluded that the sergeant was entitled to qualified immunity and they reversed the lower court, thank God. Now, Justice Sonia Sotomayor dissented, and also joined by Justice Elena Kagan and Justice Brown Jackson. Now, Sotomayor, she argued that the court, this is going to make you smile, Brett. She argued, she dissented. So this means that she thinks that the sergeant should not have qualified immunity, that he should be able to get sued for his actions for doing a simple wrist lock, which is very basic DT stuff and very easy on the bad guy. She said that, or argued that the court had improperly stepped in with the extraordinary remedy of a summary reversal, said that a jury could find the officer used excessive force against a nonviolent protester engaged in passive resistance. She said a jury could find that Zorn, the sergeant, violated Linton's clearly established Fourth Amendment rights. She said the majority today gives officers license to inflict gratuitous pain on a nonviolent protester, even where there is no threat to officer safety and any other reason to do so. Wow, that's almost like saying ICE is going to show up at airports and going to shoot and kill people.
Oh, yeah. How silly is that? You know, I think you said it. Laying hands on somebody and twisting their wrist behind their back, that's the most innocuous little thing you can do when it comes to making an arrest. And this lady had a choice when she was told she was under arrest, comply with my order. She could have complied. And so sometimes the application of pain is the only way to force people to comply, not overly. Don't shoot her in the back. Don't hit her with a nightstick, but grab her arm, put it behind her back. That's the absolute bare least we were ever taught. And if they take away, if they say in that instance, an officer doesn't have qualified immunity, it's time for everybody to go home.
Yeah. No, you're right. You know, here we finally have an officer going hands-on, and he's using an approved defensive tactics move, one that we teach till we're blue in the face, and this guy's using it. You know, I mean, you know, wrist locks and arm bars and all this stuff. When was the last time you saw an effective use of that? This sergeant showed up on the scene, did what he was supposed to do, and you're right, it's innocuous, Brett. You know, we're not trying to hurt the bad guy. And it was as much force necessary to get the job done. It worked. He didn't have to beat her. They didn't have to spray her, and they're all locked in. So there would have been, you know, cross-contamination between people. Man, this is isolated to the bad girl that was not following orders, not compliant. And she has one person to thank for that happening. It's herself for not following orders.
Yeah. You know, the next step down from that is simply for the officer to walk away, and that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, who's offended here is the people of that state who through the legislative process have given that officer certain powers. So when that woman defied the officer, she defied the people in that state who voted for the people who are making the laws and for the governor who enacted the laws. She's bowing up to the entire state.
Yeah, no doubt. Good way to put it. All right. So we're less than a minute out from going to our next commercial break. So let's see where we're going next. We have we have a Harris County Sheriff's deputy indicted in 2025 in a deadly gas station shooting I remember this, Brett, because we covered it at KHOU.com, and this is in Houston, Texas. So I'll whet the appetite here. This Houston County deputy now facing termination and a murder charge after the deadly shooting that drew scrutiny and raised questions about use of force decisions. It's a female deputy that was involved in this, and I remember specifically when it went down. So when we come back from commercial break, we're going to dive into this. And, she's looking at being fired and prosecuted. Stick with us, guys. We'll be right back. All right, guys, it's time to talk about Compliant Technologies at ComplianTechnologies.com. And they are committed to providing non-lethal solutions to help officers gain the upper hand safely and rapidly in a humane, low-ethics manner, utilizing their CD3, which stands for Conductive Distraction and De-escalation Device Technology. Now, their flagship product, we all know by now, is called the Glove. It's helped officers not only tens of thousands of times, but they've had over 250,000 deployments with no injuries, no deaths. They've achieved non-lethal status in an arena that predominantly can only offer less lethal results. And when it comes to weapons retention, transitioning to a sidearm or conductive energy weapon, the Glove at ComplianTechnologies.com, they virtually eliminated weapons confusion. So stay ahead of the game with Compliant Technologies and their revolutionary CD3 that hundreds of agencies have already turned to nationwide. And friends, take it from me, when it comes to safety, this is one of the most common sense, hands-on solutions has ever come along. Go to ComplianTechnologies.com today and tell them that Chip and Brett sent you. Again, that is ComplianTechnologies.com. You'll be glad that you did and watch the cool videos. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at LeoRoundtable.com. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Captain Brett Bartlett and, you know, the founder of Exemplar Defense Solutions at ExemplarDefense.com. So I think that we left off talking about the Harris County Sheriff's Deputy indicted in 2025 for this deadly gas. Did we get to that one yet, Brett, or were we on the other one?
No, we're just talking about it, but we need
all right. Let's right the female off the female officer. So it's in the Houston area. So a Harris County deputy now facing termination and a murder charge. So the Harris County Sheriff's Office are the ones involved. And there was an administrative disciplinary committee, and they recommended termination for Deputy Eileen Jimenez Barboza after an internal investigation found that she violated multiple policies in connection with the 2025 shooting death of 36-year-old LaVincer Swanson. Now, Brett, I have a problem with this out the gate because she's facing, well, they've already done the freaking IA on her, and she's facing a murder charge. I mean, you know, they're doing it in reverse order. What's up with that?
And I mean, they should let the state decide what it's going to do first and then go, you know.
Yeah, I mean, the thing, and people watch the show, what you want to avoid and what you, statute-wise, what you have to avoid, you know, when you have an administrative process like internal affairs, and then you've got a criminal process in the court system, you want to, there are certain things that are divulged in the rules of procedure and evidence are different in these two different settings, administrative and, yep, and legal and criminal. And so you don't want anything, yep, popping up on the administrative side to unduly influence the criminal side. And no, that's why you typically do criminal first. And when it's exhausted, yep, yeah, it's done. Yeah, and it makes the, it makes the,
what if she said in the IA, what if she has said, now she's under duress, she has to give testimony on the administrative. What if she said, I intentionally meant to kill that guy? They can't, okay, charge her in criminal court. She was forced to give that information. Okay, and here's the deal.
They'll be fired.
I'm the chief. You have to follow my orders. You have to answer these questions. That's why it's always, well, mostly always, criminal first and then administrative second. Now, here's my beef with her. If I'm on the ground fighting a bad guy, you can't help me if you're standing up.
Well, we haven't even gotten to that part yet, but no. Yeah, you're right. So that said, let's get into this. So the Harris County Sheriff's Office, they said that they had the disciplinary committee. They recommended termination for her, Eileen Jimenez Barboza, and they found that she violated multiple policies in connection with the 2025 shooting death of the 36-year-old bad guy, LaVincer Swanson. He was a bad guy. Now, according to the sheriff's office, the recommendation came on Thursday, March the 19th. Now, the deputy, Eileen Barboza, 36 years old, she had been placed on a non-law enforcement duty immediately after the shooting, and she remained in that role until the termination decision. So they already knew, you know, something was up with her. But she had been with the sheriff's office since 2010. Let's see. So 2010, and this happened, I'm trying to think of here the year this happened in 2025. Okay. So it happened wow, 15 years after she came on, so that she had enough time under her belt to get decent training. The same day, a Harris County grand jury indicted her on a charge of murder. Now, the shooting happened 3 o'clock in the morning, February the 27th, 2025, is at an Exxon gas station. Deputies responded to a disturbance call reporting that the guy was damaging gas pumps. And they said, hey, this man's hitting the pumps, tearing the pumps up. And that's what the 911 caller said. Elle said, oh, my God, he's just jacking the whole place up, tearing up all the pumps. Now, the surveillance video of this guy, Levinster Swanson, he's ripping gas pumps out of the holders, damaging equipment. And then body cam shows deputies repeatedly ordering this guy to get on the ground as they attempt to detain him. Get on the ground or I'm going to tase you. Get on the ground. And that's what a deputy's yelling. Put your hands behind your back. Get on your stomach. Get on your stomach. Now, authorities said that Swanson, our bad guy, became combative during the encounter, resisted deputies trying to handcuff him. And at one point, it shows a stun gun being used during the struggle. But Swanson ends up grabbing it and falls to the ground. As the situation escalates, female deputy can be heard warning before opening fire. And she said, let him go, dude. I'm about to expletive shoot you. Let him go. She's talking to the male deputy fighting the bad guy. Let him go. Oh, my God. I don't want to expletive shoot him. Let him go. And then Swanson was shot in the torso, later died at the hospital. The sheriff's office previously released body cam on this one, which we covered back in April of 2025. The IA investigation reviewed the deputy's actions, leading to the disciplinary recommendation announced this week. The Harris County District Attorney's Office has been conducting a separate independent investigation, which is standard in cases involving deadly force by law enforcement. So I am not impressed at all with how they're handling this from what we've already said on this. Captain Bartlett.
Well, like I mentioned earlier, I saw the video. Of course, the video, we understand the video doesn't show everything, doesn't show fear, doesn't show state of mind or perspective. But if the male officer is wrestling this guy on the ground, trying to get his hand behind the back, the female officer standing up cannot help if she's standing up. It's just not going to work. Okay. You've got to get down. You got to grab a hand. And they brought in, I saw the news from that, and they brought in a expert witness. I don't know his background, but I agree with the guy that, one thing I agree with is you can't help me if you're standing up and I'm fighting a guy on the ground. You just can't help me. Okay. And the only thing you can do if you're standing up is maybe use that deadly force, because if you come down and help me and grab an arm, then I don't have to use that much force on the bad guy, right? We're two of us, not one of us. I don't know. And just because you got 20 years on doesn't mean you're good. It can mean you have 1 year 20 times over. Doesn't mean you're trained, doesn't mean you're able. It just means that you've managed to work 20 years. But again, you know, if there's something we're missing, I would certainly change my opinion.
Yeah, I didn't see her engaging. There was a reluctance to go hands-on. She was more comfortable watching her male counterpart going hands-on and just kind of moving out of the way, keeping her distance instead of going in there and delivering strikes and stuff. You know, it's just disappointing. She certainly did not help push the 30-30 initiative to get 30% of female law enforcement in place by the year 2030. Huge setback for them. And I don't know how I feel about the criminal charge, the murder charge. I'm not necessarily right on the bandwagon with that. I think that, look, there's a trait. I'm not saying this is entirely a training issue because I don't believe that, but there is certainly a training component to this, an issue. Do I think that she belongs in law enforcement? That is a clear no. But I wish they would have done the criminal first. And then, you know what, when she's charged and loses her job, it's easy to fire her after the fact instead of, you know, you're muddying the waters now. And if anything makes it into the criminal trial from the administrative and then it jeopardizes the conviction, you know, maybe that's going to be good for her. Like I said, I don't necessarily believe that she should be charged with murder for this, but she needs to get out of that job. So
now if you're fighting a guy on the ground and I'm standing over you and you're seeing something I don't see, and if you're yelling at me, shoot him, I might that's tend different. To do that. I might different. Do that. If you're standing over me and all we're doing is struggling on the ground, your gun is out and I'm not real sure about your ability to shoot accurately anyway, please don't shoot that gun. And then don't display your attitude, yeah, which is I don't want to shoot him. What kind of crap is that? You either do or you don't. There's no I don't want to anything.
Well, you're gonna find out on Monday how good of a shot I am, Captain Brett. So I'm gonna prove you wrong.
Make sure you bring ammo for two tries.
Yeah, I'm shooting with the new SIG 365, FYI. just so you know.
All right, I got a 366, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, you got that little 320 still. All right, guys, look, let's go to a canine video if you can. I'm excited. I would like to get through the canine videos and then maybe cover the girl that likes to urinate. So rumble.com, our favorite law enforcement video channel. This is better. Canine Mako, he finds a suspect pretending to be a trash bag.
Fuck it, Emmett! Good boy, buddy!
Hands!
Hey, come over here to me! Come over here! Get up! Get on the ground! Fuck it, Emmett!
Put your hands out!
Hands behind your back, okay?
Keep your hands out!
Wow, we got three really good canine videos. Indian River, Florida, watches canine Mako tracks a suspect wanted on multiple drug charges after fleeing on foot. 21-year-old Omarion Hodges, our bad guy, not that smart though, taken into custody by the Indian River County Sheriff's Office Special Investigations Unit. Canine is on the scent. Goes over to a bunch of black trash bags, plastic, you know, the typical black trash bags, you know, tied up at the top. Canine goes in there and starts grabbing at one of the trash bags, and lo and behold, it was a freaking bad guy hiding in the middle of them. I thought that worked out pretty well, Brett. That was good. Kudos for the canine.
Yeah, and good for the bad guy for at least trying something. You know, that would suck though if that guy had picked up that can of thunk in the back of that garbage truck and that little thing came along and mashed him up in there. So yeah, good for the bad guy.
Yeah, it may not have been worked out too good. So in contrast, we have another one, rumble.com. This is Butter again. Beagle theft suspect taken down and bitten by a Portage County canine.
Show me your hands. Get on the ground.
Off me.
Show me your get on the ground.
Off me.
Get on the ground.
Get off me.
Dude, it's off me. Get on the ground.
I'm trying.
Get on the ground.
I can't, bro.
Get on the ground.
Get off me.
Get on the ground.
I am.
Put your chest on the ground.
Chest.
Dude, no. Give me your other hand and I'll take him off.
I can't.
Give me your other hand. So Portage County, Ohio. So this guy's in custody after deputies say he led them on a foot chase after being apprehended by a canine on Wednesday. He was finally arrested. According to the Portage County Sheriff's Office, deputies got multiple reports on March 18th of a suspicious vehicle. The call reported the suspect had abandoned the car, was attempting to steal another one while armed with a gun, so attempted carjacking. Deputies start searching the Roots Town Township. And the agency's PACE unit, whatever that stands for, locates the suspect, who then flees on foot. Now we got canine Hector jumping in to pursue the suspect, and we're going to find out what happened when we come back from commercial break. It's going to be worth the wait. Commercial break, we'll be right back. All right, guys, time to talk about GunLearn at GunLearn.com. And hey, they were thrilled to announce an exciting new partnership with Smarter Degree. It's a certification as a firearm specialist. If you have that, even if it's over the last 5 years, it's now worth college credits through Smarter Degree's university partners. And whether you're pursuing a degree or simply looking to maximize the value of your education, the partnership opens up a new pathway to academic recognition for your firearm training. And GunLearn.com is the first and it's the only company to offer a step-by-step program that takes you from your present knowledge level to become a safe, accurate, and competent certified firearm specialist. They provide citations from federal law and ATF rulings for every point taught to ensure accuracy, and their training is approved by major forensic organizations, by police departments and law enforcement agencies around the country. Now, since 1996, they've taught everything that LEOs, that's law enforcement officers, need to know about firearms and ammunition to all facets of law enforcement. You can start the day with online training, or you can register to attend a live seminar. Go to gunlearn.com to get more information, especially if you have your own agency and want to host a seminar at no cost, gunlearn.com. Welcome back. Leo Roundtable at leoroundtable.com, the law enforcement talk show. My name is Chip DeBlock, and I'm your host. We're joined by Captain Brett Bartlett with 32 years of exemplary service. And we left off talking about a vehicle theft suspect taken down and bitten by a Portage County canine. And yes, that's in Ohio. So according to the Portage County Sheriff's Office, after getting multiple reports of a suspicious vehicle, the bad guy abandons the vehicle. He's trying to carjack another car. So we've got the Roots Township area agencies. They got the PACE unit involved. And guy takes off on foot. So a deputy, along with his canine partner called Canine Hector, they start chasing the bad guy. Canine takes him in the custody shortly afterwards. The suspect has been identified as Daniel Summers. And during the investigation, deputies determined that the vehicle that he abandoned was actually reported stolen. And the vehicle keys were found where? In his possession at the time. So not much of an argument there. Now, going to my study notes here. The suspect, now, they had seen him with a gun, so he's believed to be armed, and he ran from the deputies, and you can see the dog's ahead of the handler, and you can see right at the moment he goes, and he's kind of like dancing around with the bad guy, and then he gets a bite on him, and he's holding the bad guy in place. And so I have down that at the 45-second mark, the suspect, he's running from the deputy, and now he's being bitten at the 45-second mark. And it's at 3:01, the deputy gets the guy handcuffed, and the dog is released at 10 seconds later at 3:11. So we've actually got a good amount of time to where our bad guy is being bitten and eaten and stuff. So I was getting some enjoyment out of watching this one. How about you, Captain?
Yeah.
He had a little hard time putting his hand behind his back, didn't he?
Well, you know, when a dog is trying to chew your shoulder off, I'm not really going to give that guy my hand. If every time I extend it, the dog's going to eat it. We've talked about this before. I don't, you know, if I'm getting eaten by a dog,
come on, you're smiling.
I'm in a fight or flight right there, and I don't want to be eaten. So I'm not really listening to your orders. My brain's going, buddy, you're about to get digested by a canine. Do what you got to do to save yourself.
Well, I hope more bad guys watch this video and they comply instead of, you know, the other route this guy took.
I hope they comply too, but just imagine if that dog was on your arm, I don't know how many hundreds of pounds of pressure on your arm, and somebody's telling you to do something with that arm.
No, I get it. But, you know, we've all been bitten. You've been bitten by canines, right?
Yeah, but not for that amount of time. I kind of gave up a lot sooner than that.
All right, our third canine story, Rumble.com. Again, this is Butters the Channel. Canine catches a career criminal when he tries to hide in a crawl space under a house after eluding Flagler deputies. We're back over here in Florida.
Attaboy! Come out with your hands up!
Your hands up now!
Come out with your hands up! Boy. Come out, do it now! Come out, do it now! Come out! You gotta crawl out. The dog won't come off until you crawl out.
Crawl out!
Attaboy!
Get out!
Attaboy! Attaboy! No, get him out! Get him out! Attaboy!
Keep crawling!
Attaboy!
Out! Don't move! Don't move!
Wait! Watch the dog! Watch the dog! Watch the dog! Position, reposition. Position, roll back over that way.
Don't move.
Joseph, throw hands, I'll have it.
Don't move. I'm moving. I promise. I had enough. I'm sorry, I fucked up. I'm fine, sir. Please help. Put the dog off me, please.
Dog off.
Right, roll over on your stomach.
Attaboy. Attaboy. Attaboy.
Up by Flagler University. So Flagler County, deputies in Flagler say that they're forced to use a canine to capture the career criminal. The land resident, James Myers, he's 33 years old, was arrested on a Monday after deputies said he fled a traffic stop in a stolen pickup truck. What is it with these guys, these car thieves running and they're getting bit by the canines. Investigators say that the bad guy Myricks led deputies on a high-speed chase, crashes, attempts to hide under the home. So he's traveling 92 in a 30-mile-an-hour zone before crashing the truck in a ditch. The Flagler County Sheriff's Office releases canine Uno to get Myricks to come out from the home's crawl space. They send him in, and then you hear the screaming begin. Myricks eventually crawls out to the deputies. They're saying, hey, you got to crawl out. They're not going to go in and get him. He's got to crawl out with the dog attached to his arm. So he's got to drag the dog out from under the house with him. And you can't move around in those little crawl spaces. I mean, I hate to go in those things. And we got Sheriff Rick Staley's over there. So Myricks, the bad guy, was transported to Advent Health Palm Coast for medical clearance before he's booked to the Flagler County Jail. He faces charges of grand theft of a motor vehicle, fleeing and eluding, habitual driving with a suspended license, and resisting arrest without violence, dangerous excessive speeding, and reckless driving. So, yeah, they booked him pretty good. Captain Brett.
Ouch. Show me your hands. Come out. No, I don't think I can. Thank you for asking, though, but there's a dinosaur eating me alive, and I don't think I can comply with your request. I don't know what the officer was seeing, but I don't know anything about canines other than I've seen them work. But that officer let the canine go into that area. It looked to me kind of not knowing where the dog was going to end up going. I don't know, unless he could see something I couldn't. But, you know, I don't know if he lost – if you can lose control of the dog in that situation where you can't see what the dog's doing. But that was just my perspective.
Does it really matter, Brett?
I don't know.
Does it really matter? I mean, you know, just think, if the more screaming, the more clicks we get, the more exciting it is to cover, you know, does it really matter?
I guess. Just don't ask me to obey your commands while I'm being going down the gullet of a canine.
You know, the bad guys have one guy to thank. It's themselves for getting themselves in this situation. But, you know,
it's true.
One of the videos we had, the guy actually flipped, and he flipped the canine that was biting him on one of the ones before this. But the dog never let go. On this one, you're not flipping, you know, you're not. Actually, you know what? That might have happened when the guy came out from under the crawl space. That may have happened after he got out. But, you know, there's no flipping going on. You can barely move. You can't sit up. You can crawl. Can you imagine this dog just in that kind of a... It's kind of like being in a coffin. You know, you just can't do anything to undo that. And luckily he was able, I mean, look, he chose to go in the crawl space. So the downside we've had bad guys stab and shoot dogs in crawl spaces. And the handler is at a huge disadvantage on what can he do to save the dog, you know? So, so we got to cover this next story, Brett. I know you may have issues with it, but RBMnews.com, Florida woman arrested for urinating all over two Airbnbs, uploading videos to adult websites. Apparently, she was making money doing that. So the Florida woman arrested after authorities says she filmed herself damaging property inside two Airbnb rentals in Pensacola. So I know it's given Florida a bad name, and posted the videos online for profit, causing thousands of dollars in damage. Now, imagine having the Airbnb, it being your place. Let's just say it's not just rental property. Let's just say it's your home, and you and the wife are going to Europe for a month, and you just want to do the Airbnb thing when you're gone. According to a police report obtained by WEAR, W-E-A-R, Nicolette Kauf, K-E-O-U-G-H, 31 years old, taken into custody March 15th, charged with criminal mischief following an investigation in the incidents of two separate rental units. So it began after an Airbnb property owner in Pensacola reported unusual activity tied to one of her guests. Now, the owner told authorities that she discovered videos allegedly showing this bad girl damaging items inside the rental property. So now you guys might be asking, when you say damaging, what do you mean? I will tell you. There was a young lady inside making money in a very unusual way that damaged someone else's property, according to Pensacola police officer Mike Wood. And Wood added that there was a list of items, including a television, a record player, a coffee pot, some, I thought it said bleeding, but it says some bedding and some carpeting and I believe a rug. All right, this is getting good. According to the report, the homeowner was alerted through the Airbnb platform that her guest was allegedly engaging in destructive behavior inside the rental units. After receiving a tip, the owner reviewed the content that had been posted online and identified it, what she thought was damage taken inside one of her properties. The investigator said the footage allegedly showed our bad girl damaging a range of household items within the rentals. Items reportedly affected included coffee maker, toaster, typewriter, television, rugs, and chairs. The property owner told authorities that the damage left behind a strong odor resulted in significant financial loss. Can you imagine? Everything smelled like urine. According to reports, one unit sustained approximately just under $4,000 in damages. The second unit occurred over $1,300 in losses. We got a Crown Royal chair, typewriter, record player, four dining chairs, coffee pot, bedding, television, electric fireplace. Additional items reported affected included a vase, a green rug, an accent wall, a chair, a tiger rug. Ooh, the tiger rug. I bet they worked overtime on that one. Authorities said maybe they can salvage that. That's the one thing you need to salvage out of all that. You save that tiger rug. There was over $5,000 damage. And so that's where they booked her for the criminal mischief. Arrested, booked on criminal mischief charges. They indicate she was later released on bond following her arrest. And this is investigated by the Pensacola Police Department. And it's, it's still ongoing, but it's tied to two rental properties. Captain Brett.
I heard that they settled out of court and they met behind that place and the owners punched her square in the snot locker and called it even and said, hey, film this. But maybe I was just dreaming.
You know what low class. Can you imagine? And she's making money doing this at two Airbnbs. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Just a punch in the mouth to be done with it. Because you're not going to get any other satisfaction out of this moron.
Well, you know, she at least evidence of the crime, she's posting the stuff online. So, you know, they hook, line, and sinker, man. No way she's gonna talk her way out of that.
Yeah.
And I think in Florida now, criminal mischief, that's over $1,000 for a felony. Am I correct on that?
Haven't seen it in a while. Don't know for sure.
No. So, but anyhow, I know that we're over or past our time and we're on Wounded Blue time here now. But Captain Bartlett, great having you on the show. You did an outstanding job, especially with the last story. And I know you don't have the fondness for canines that I do, but thank you for putting up with me on that one. And yeah. We know you have a love for canines. You love the little wiener dogs, the dachshunds or whatever you call them. So, hey, I do want to mention the Wounded Blue at thewoundedblue.org. Lieutenant Randy Sutton's 501c3 that's helping cops out in the world of hurt. So please check them out and consider donating. I do monthly. Brett can also be found at Exemplar Defense Solutions at exemplardefense.com. And a shout out to our sponsors. Thank you so much to Gauls, ComplianceTechnologies.com. Gunlearn.com on Medicare.live, Safer Recruiting, and TubeBells.com. Don't forget, at Gauls.com, Radio 15 is your code. We'll see you guys back tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern.